This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Talk radio that you control, 202-380-3699. If you want to join the discussion, that's 202-380-3699. Got sidetracked a bit and started talking about how much socialism sucks. And, you know, I have to offer the same, I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for, but, you know, socialism and communism and all of these other isms, in theory, could work. I want to be clear about that. I don't hate the idea of socialism. I mean, sure, if you want to get a bunch of socialists together or communists and have your socialist or communist society, there is no reason that couldn't actually work and produce a very strong, very valuable society. It's just not likely, and seeing it implemented has consistently led to death. I don't recall ever anyone reading any articles about anyone fleeing the horrors of the free market.
Well, some would tell you that they have, but nonetheless, there are those that would blame every problem in existence on capitalism. They don't know what capitalism is, don't have a good definition for it, and that's fine. I would say the definition of communism is communal ownership of pretty much everything, maybe with the exception of some personal property or something like personal effects or something right. like that, but basically communal ownership of property, period. And
well, the situation that we're in is essentially already socialist. You're allowed to own things that don't produce, right? The few things that you're allowed to own that produce are things like your vehicle, which is heavily regulated, heavily restricted.
I don't know that you own your vehicle. If you have to pay every year, yeah. especially in some states where you pay based on the value of the vehicle. Here in New Hampshire, if you have a Tesla, you're going to pay a lot for your registration every year versus if you have a 1986 Toyota Corolla.
Right.
Whereas in Florida, it didn't make a difference. You know, it was one set price for any kind of car from Rolls-Royce to Daihatsu. It didn't make the least bit of difference.
Okay.
So I'd say that if they choose, I mean, admittedly, you're choosing to drive on their road and you're choosing where you live and some things like that. So there are some choices in it. But do you really own a vehicle that you have to pay based on its value every year?
Fair point. I mean, I would offer the same criticism about property taxes and stuff like that.
Sure.
You don't really, I mean, you're renting, even if you own your home outright, you're renting it from the government, and they can evict you at any time if you don't pay your yearly rent.
That's right.
Called property tax.
You have a higher level of renter status as a property owner.
But the ultimate owner is the government, the state. And that's true of, you know, pretty much everything that produces. You're allowed to own things that don't produce. You're allowed to own toothpaste and soap and deodorant and all of these other things. And, you know, maybe even a computer or so. But
you can produce with computers.
But if you want to actually have a factory or do something that requires, you know, employees to produce, you know, materials, a good for people to consume, you're heavily regulated by the government, who has to license you and regulate you and can shut you down at any time.
Well,
because they're ultimately the owners.
The governments throughout time have claimed two things. They've claimed the ownership of all the land within their given, you know, polygon on the map.
Yeah.
And they've claimed the ownership of the people within that polygon. Now, that ownership throughout time has become less and less, right? Like, I call what we have free-range serfdom. Because you can pick where you live so long as you ask permission. If you want to go outside of the United States polygon, you have to ask permission.
And that wasn't the case in, you know, medieval feudalism, where the lord that you worked for was the lord that you worked for, and you couldn't just go and work for a different lord?
Not very easily.
You had to get your current lord's permission.
Yeah, I mean, traveling from town to town was not nearly as common as it is today. It was often done by minstrels and people like that. They just didn't care.
Well, and merchants.
Yeah, merchants and stuff like that.
Well, I'm referring more to the laborer.
To the serf, right.
Yeah.
But the average serf is like, you know, wouldn't want to go work for that other lord because this is his town, this is where he grew up, this is, you know, where his family is and that sort of thing. But it's true. So, you know, one of the distinction I like to make is between statism and socialism. So socialism, I defined earlier as state ownership of the means of production, but that has a meaning that is a little unclear. So it's when the government tries to run things like electric companies or fire departments or, you know, something like an oil drilling company. I mean, this has worked very badly. Every time the government gets into something, they can take a profitable business and very quickly turn it into a huge money sink, and it's amazing to watch.
It is, and this is why I would argue that what we have in the United States is actually closer to fascism, which would be state control of the means of production through puppeteer corporations.
I dislike the term fascism simply because it is... it has so much baggage that people simply can't define it. And
right.
You could define it because you'll come up with a Mussolini definition. You'll say Mussolini had a definition for fascism, and it was, you know, a marriage between the corporate and the state, and, you know, blah, 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 right? And I don't have it in front of me.
Well, he was the one who, I mean, it's essentially that. He was the one who invented fascism. So I would.
No, fascism was invented in the United States by Woodrow Wilson and his ilk. I mean, sorry, the United States. As a long lineage
wrong.
Of fascism.
You're not wrong, but we didn't. I mean, it started in World War I prior to the rise of Mussolini. You're absolutely right. When the industrialization, the mobilization, all of these corporate heads started meeting in back rooms and working close with government to figure out, hey, this is how we're going to mobilize all of these industries to work for the government, but we're not really going to let people know that we're government employees and that we're doing this at your behest for your benefit. And it's just sort of escalated during World War II, and then it carried on, and now we're in this position where you can't even buy a freaking toilet without it being subject to 8,000 different regulations.
The point that I would like to make is that fascism is a loaded term. And I'm not saying you're incorrect. I'm saying that we need to use terms that people can access. And so a term like, say, mercantilist or something like that, which might be a little...
Corporatism?
Corporatism is the term I like to use, because corporatism sort of, you know, corporations a term that everybody can agree, corporations do not take responsibility for their actions the way that they should, and that the people at the top of corporations...
Well, no, because the government's running guard for them, so they don't have to.
Yes.
Because it's fascism.
And that's why we call it corporatism, because it doesn't have the sort of Nazi goose-stepping, we hate black people kind of shebang to it that fascism has, or... Jews and I don't know everybody else. Don't forget to throw the gypsies and the Jehovah's Witnesses.
But it absolutely does have that. We talked about it last night with the hatred for the straight cis white male coming from the liberals and the hatred of the Hispanic immigrants coming from the conservatives.
Okay, so yes, there is a modern... so politics is about dividing people. And don't you forget it, ladies and gentlemen. Politicians have no power if you don't hate somebody. Because that's, you know, you think about the person you dislike the most, the group that you dislike the most, and the politician that you like the most dislikes that group of people the most.
This is the solution to all of these problems is to simply love one another.
It's a great way, right? One love. And what I love about Bob Marley, I'm really not that big of a fan of his music. But what I love about him is that he had the belief that he could create world peace with simply the creation of music. And if you believe that what you're doing has that kind of huge global effect, you will work in that way. I come to work with the belief that I can create a more harmonious and more peaceful and more loving world every single day. Now, do I forget it when I'm on the air? You better believe I do. There's no doubt about it.
Well, no one's perfect.
But I try to say this mantra to myself that I can create this every single time because I'm inspired by Bob Marley. But anyway, let me go on.
Well, that's what we do here on Free Talk Live consistently, is spread the ideas of peace, love, liberty, and forgiveness.
I certainly try to. But I can't say that would
solve all of the problems in the world if people just perpetually operated from those positions of, hey, instead of hating one another, let's love one another. Instead of holding grudges, let's forgive one another. Just these simple, little, tiny steps that take almost no effort could have world peace tomorrow.
Well, it's a lofty goal.
All people have to do is love one another.
Love is the way to start, yes.
202-380-3699. More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk 1-800-930-3699 if you want to join the discussion. Someone got swallowed by a well while swimming off the coast of somewhere. I don't know exactly where because I wasn't.
Cape Cod.
That's Massachusetts, right?
It sure is, yeah.
Not far from here, then. Now, you said they were stupid for swimming out there. Why?
It's cold.
Okay.
I mean...
It is cold. Recently, my Google Photos thing was like, hey, remember a year ago when you went to the Hampton Beach here in New Hampshire? I was like, yeah, it was freezing cold. It wasn't freezing cold, but it was like 50 degrees. It was wet, and it was
not so great, yeah.
Not a pleasant experience. I can't imagine the beaches here in the Northeast are really welcoming and inviting, except maybe in late July or early August. But yeah, anyone swimming right now is kind of crazy, in my opinion.
Hey, this guy likely had on some kind of outfit. Let me read the story here. A veteran Cape Cod, Massachusetts lobster diver is home from the hospital after he says he was swallowed by a humpback whale off the coast of Provincetown early Friday morning. Michael Packard says his vessel was positioned off Herring Cove Beach, surrounded by a fleet of fishing boats. The 56-year-old well fleet man plucks lobsters off the bottom of the ocean floor. He told the Cape Cod Times he was about 35 feet down when he was swallowed by a humpback whale. I thought there's no way I'm going to get out of this with sheer brute. I guess that's the way he talks. It's either he's going to let me go or this is where I'm going to die. And I really thought this is where I'm going to die.
I would imagine so. If you get swallowed by a whale, what else could go through your head?
All I could think of was my sons, my wife, and my mom, and I thought it was just over. And that sounds legitimately like what you think of when you are dying. Packard estimates...
I don't know what I would think about if swallowed by a freaking well.
I don't know. I just love hearing you say well.
Well?
Well.
Why?
Because it's whale. That's why.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm from Mississippi, Mark.
I don't know what the accent is separate. I don't know. I mean, I've heard other people, but I know they were all from Mississippi that do the, well, kel, del kind of sound to it.
So I'm saying it well?
Well. You're saying well is in a place that you from which you draw water.
Okay. And it's
versus whale, yeah. Which is a large mammal that swims in the water.
I've never given it any thought whatsoever.
I know, I hear you. Yeah. That's how accents are. Yeah. It's just the way you are.
Pronounce ale like L, you know. So why would I
ale is in
L like is in the drink.
The drink, yeah. Yeah. You don't say L?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Say ale.
Ale.
Okay. It's close, though.
I guess.
Yeah. But if you put a W in front of that, that would still be whale. Yeah. All of a sudden, I saw light and white water everywhere, and all of a sudden, I was thrown from his mouth, Packard says. He was shaking his head, trying to eject me out of his mouth.
So was he actually swallowed by a whale, or was he just, like, in the mouth of one?
In the mouth of a whale. I don't think that you could even go down the throat of a humpback whale because of the baleen.
What now?
Baleen. It's a bone, a thin bone filter. They just make combs out of it if it tells you how thin it is.
Okay.
A thin bone filter that they use to get the krill. as opposed to filtering out bigger things that they might get up in their mouths.
Okay.
So, anyway, last thing I saw was his tail going down, and here I was lying on the surface, Packard says.
Wouldn't you think someone who was a professional lobster catcher or whatever it is that he does would know that it probably wasn't possible for the whale to swallow him?
I don't think you're thinking that stuff at all. And he did essentially think that. He did essentially think that.
Either are in the mouth of a whale.
Either he's going to spit me out or this is where I'm going to die. And that is an accurate assessment of what was going on. He wasn't going to die 18 feet down the whale's throat. He was going to die right there in its mouth, caught in the baleen. And so, no, I think he had a very accurate assessment of what was going on.
Okay.
And, if the whale didn't get him out of the mouth, there's a lot of panic, and I don't know what his equipment was or how long he was, had. Like, maybe he had some diving equipment and he could have stayed down there for another 20 minutes, or maybe he had a lung full of breath, which I imagine your heart starts beating a little faster, you're going to use up.
I would imagine so.
Let's see. Packard says his boatmate, who the Cape Cod Times identifies as Joshua Mayo, says the ejection from the whale, saw the ejection from the whale, but did not see the humpback swallow him. I don't need, like, if you come out of the mouth of a whale, I'm just going to presume that you went into the mouth of a whale.
Yes.
And it's not swallowed.
I think that's a fair assessment.
Good enough. They saw the ejection when the whale came up and threw me out. Packard says Mayo helped him out of the water, called to the shore on the radio, and headed in. He was taken to an area hospital but suffered a few injuries, mainly soft tissue damage.
Aren't whales fairly smart?
Yeah.
I wonder if the whale simply thought he was drowning. Was like, hey, I'm going to take you back up to the surface. I got your back, huh?
It's possible. I'm not going to... Yeah, I
mean, that's something that a dolphin would do if a dolphin had the capacity, but dolphins are also smarter than whales, I believe.
Dolphin is a whale. I would. So what I have heard from divers, and mind you, I prefer to be in the water with things smaller than me, not larger.
Sure.
What I've heard is that whales will nudge you and move you and get between you and a problem and that kind of thing. So it's quite possible a whale just thought it was just skimming for krill. They open. If you ever get a chance to see a baleen whale, a whale that, you know, skims for krill, their mouths are gigantic. And it could happen. I mean, if there's enough people in the water, enough whales in the water, sooner or later, somebody ends up in the mouth of a whale. And so I tend to think this was accidental on the part of the whale, and that's why he was like sort of shaking him out. But it could be. I like the story. It could be. Anyway, the Juke Robbins, director of the humpback whale studies at the Center for Coastal Studies in Provincetown, said it appeared to be a mistake and accident on part of the whale. It's not something I have heard happening before. So many things would have to have happened to end up in the path of a feeding whale. The center's humpback whale studies program is home to a long-term study of humpbacks off Cape Cod and the greater Gulf of Maine. Robbins directs the research, which is one of the most detailed whale studies in the world. Robbins suspects it was a juvenile humpback whale feeding on sand lance. I don't know what sand lance is.
Well, it certainly can't be common. I mean, they are right about that. This is the first story I've ever heard.
Ever heard, yeah.
Of a whale eating someone or, you know, having them in their mouths, however you wish to characterize it. It's not something I've heard of before.
Yeah, it says here that this is describes better than what I was saying. The center says humpback whales spend their time seeking and engulfing small schooling fish. They lunge quickly, open their mouths wide, and use, when we're talking about whales, wide is a big wide, use baleen plates in their mouth to filter the water out before the fish are swallowed. If something lies directly in the path of a lunge feeding humpback whale, the whale might not always be able to detect it or avoid it in time, Robbins continued. For example, some entanglements in fishing gear begin this way and can threaten the life of the whale. Interactions between humpback whales and people are rare and thought to be accidental. From what we know of this event, it would have been a rare accident, Robbins noted.
Well, at least that means it's safe to swim in the ocean. You're not likely to get eaten by a whale, so that's good. 202-380-3699. That's the new call-in line. 202-380-3699. When we come back, we're going to talk about TikTok and how it's collecting biometric data on Americans. More coming up. It's Free Talk.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. the number of confirmed U.S. deaths from COVID-19 surpassed 600,000. The milestone follows a significant slowdown in all COVID-19 metrics after a winter surge that reached nearly every corner of the country and strained healthcare systems. Vice President Kamala Harris and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen appeared together on Tuesday to discuss how small businesses can get federal funding as the United States continues to move forward from the coronavirus pandemic.
I am proud that we are announcing the Rapid Recovery Program, which that bill set up, and is now operational. $1.25 billion will be distributed to community lenders through this program. Lenders can use these funds for critical needs, such as to recover from the pandemic themselves.
And you're listening to USA Radio News. Reports say Southwest Airlines is beginning to resume operations after a national ground stop went into effect on Tuesday. In a tweet, the airline blaming system issues. This is the latest problem for the Texas-based airline. A weather monitoring system went down last night for about 3 hours and caused delays. The former CDC director is defending the theory that COVID-19 could have leaked from a Chinese lab. Robert Redfield telling Fox News the spread of the virus was not consistent with other deadly coronaviruses such as SARS and MERS.
There's an alternative hypothesis that it went from a bat virus, got into a laboratory where in the laboratory it was taught, educated, it evolved so that it became a virus that could efficiently transmit human to human. My professional opinion as a virologist is that's the hypothesis that I support.
This is USA Radio News.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live 202-380-3699. If you want to join the discussion, that's 202-380-3699. With you tonight, it's Aria.
And Mark.
And I've alluded to it a couple of times, but before we get into it, never mind, this is the crypto stakes left to talk about tonight, and I don't feel like getting into that at the moment.
The TikTok story?
I was going to look into live reads, but okay. The only ones left tonight are the Crypto Six. So, and I'm not going to worry with it at the moment.
Yeah, gotcha.
So, I've never used TikTok. I've seen some TikTok talk content that, you know, my sister has created or someone else has created. But I've never used it. I've never explored it. I've never tried to do anything with it. Because, from what I can tell, it's just another content creation tool when I'm already have access to enough content creation tools. And sure, maybe, you know, I could reach more people on TikTok or whatever, but I just don't see any particular reason to do that instead of putting videos on YouTube or Twitch or wherever. So I've never used it, but it's really popular. And
they're usually shorter videos and, you know, let's say dancing or, you know, something like that. It doesn't have that political rant feel to it, in my opinion.
I don't know. I've seen some videos that are fairly
political.
Yeah,
sure.
I think the platform as a whole is more about, you know, enjoying a 3-minute video or a 30-second video or whatever,
right,
and not getting into like a 6-minute political rant.
Right.
I would agree. But evidently, it's very popular. There was a thing last year where Donald Trump hinted he wanted to ban TikTok because it's owned by a Chinese company or something like that. Evidently, though, TikTok is collecting biometric data on people.
Right. A change to TikTok's U.S. privacy policy on Wednesday introduced a new section that says the social video app may collect biometric identifiers and biometric information from users' content.
Why would you even turn on biometric functionality on your phone in the first place?
Well, maybe you don't have a choice. So if TikTok says, in this case, they're talking about face prints and voice prints. So if you make a TikTok video, you have authorized the app to use your camera. At that point, the app has the right to use your camera because you have authorized it. And therefore, it can get your face anytime it wants to. And presumably your voice anytime it wants to. Or at the very least, when the app is open. In many cases, the new thing is that you authorize it when the app is open.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that means open in the background or open being used immediately at this moment in time. But whatever the case may be, you know, this is...
That's a good point. I hadn't considered that. I assumed, you know, you would have to unlock these features on your phone, you know, turn on the thumbprinting and all of that. But no, you're giving TikTok your voice and your face just by using the app.
Right. And as far as I'm concerned, if you give something to a Chinese company, you give it to the Chinese government. Because the Chinese government doesn't have relationships with the companies in its sphere of influence. The United States does with the companies in its sphere of influence. Not to say that Google's exactly going to go to bat for you or anything. But Apple has gone to bat for people, you know, gone to bat for their own security and these sorts of
things. Well, they created a loophole that they didn't really talk about.
That
allowed people to think that Apple went to bat for them. I assume you're referring to the whole FBI wanted Apple to decrypt something, and Apple was like, no, we're not doing that.
Yes.
Well, what they ended up doing was they don't encrypt the backups that your phone sends to the cloud. So those aren't encrypted. Your phone is encrypted, sure, but the backup is not. So the FBI can just access the backup, and it's not encrypted. And this way, Apple can say, oh, well, look, we still refuse to give the FBI or the government your encrypted information, but they did give it to them. They just did it in a roundabout way so they didn't have to tell people, oh, yeah, hey, we turned that stuff over. You're screwed.
Let me ask you this. If a company came out and said, we do security and encryption and these sorts of things, and there's two companies, all things are equal.
Okay.
Between these two companies, except one of them is in the United States and one of them is in China. Do you have an opinion on that?
Are either of them open source?
Sure.
Well, the one that's open source is going to get my business.
Okay. So, that's what I've heard when it comes to encryption. At least you need to be able to see the source code, as it were.
I mean, it wouldn't be any use to me because I cannot program anywhere near that level. But knowing that people who can program at that level have inspected it and checked it off,
presumably,
that is a strong factor for me.
Okay,
that's one of the reasons I like Android, because it is presumably open source. And I know Google has some things locked away and all of that, but you can throw on Lineage.
What's Lineage?
Lineage is an operating system for Android phones. It's a fully unlocked
rooting.
Well, sort of.
Okay.
I mean, you have to have a rooted device in order to install a different operating system in general.
Okay.
But I haven't even bothered with that lately because it's a lot of trouble, and I just don't know that it's worth it, you know.
I don't know what's worth it when it comes to phones. To me, I just presume that you know, the device I'm using is cracked in some way and that somebody may listen. But I also try not to have any information that the government would want.
Right.
Not that that's always worked out for me, mind you.
Well, I know there was an issue with Signal recently, which I don't know if Signal is open source or not, but it's an encrypted chat platform. And
considered the best.
It was making calls. It could be hacked to make calls without the owner of the phone even being aware of it.
Okay.
So that was a major issue.
That's
for
a major issue.
Yeah. I mean, the FBI could just
connect
to your phone at any time and listen to via signal to whatever you're saying. So it's a fair assumption to think that any digital device that you have that has a microphone is listening all the time. And any camera is watching all the time.
I'm amazed at the ads that I get from social media on my phone. Like, they have to be listening to what I'm saying. They have to be picking out keywords.
Your phone certainly is, but, Facebook and all of those certainly are, and they make no secret of it.
But you repeat yourself.
What?
The FBI, Facebook, but you repeat yourself.
Well, yes, but not to the average person, right? The average person doesn't consider them one of the same. But yeah, I've seen this where I will have a literal conversation with a friend about something, and a few minutes later, getting advertisements for that in Facebook.
Yes.
And that's creepy.
I'm talking about just having conversations in real life with real people, and I get ads for things that I shouldn't be getting ads for unless it's listening.
Hmm. That's alarming.
I think that's what's happening.
I don't know that I've ever experienced that.
Okay.
But I do know that if I say anything on any aspect of any part of my phone, if I say it in text message or via email or whatever, I'm going to end up with a Facebook ad about that very thing. Like these microphones and phones. I'm constantly receiving advertisements for microphones from this brand. I've never posted anything about these microphones anywhere on Facebook.
The strangest thing is that when you order something on Amazon, Amazon somehow believes you've just suddenly become a connoisseur and a collector of, say, microphones.
Yes. Well,
no, I just bought a microphone. I don't need to buy more microphones.
They certainly do that. And I don't remember what exactly it was that was so bizarre, but I bought something that, you only have to buy one of these
ever. Yeah.
And then you're good to go. I bought one, and it's just, hey, you might like this similar item that's almost exactly what you just bought and that you can't possibly need. Try it instead.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember what it was, but yeah, it's bizarre how Amazon seems to think. I bought some speakers off of there, and they decided I must be a multi-billionaire because they started promoting surround sound systems to me that were like $14,000, $15,000. Amazon, you've lost your mind. I don't know what algorithm they have in place, but they need to fix it because, yes, I have bought microphones off of Amazon. I don't need any more. There's no point in promoting them to me. 202-380-3699. Who else is listening? Maybe Amazon heard that and they're going to stop suggesting.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tech. Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Mark and I were just having a discussion and
a disagreement.
Yeah, it's just going to spill over to the air. We're talking about statues here.
Right.
And before we get into the discussion, disagreement we were having, let's talk about the Mona Lisa and Jeff Bezos. So let's back up and explain to people how we
I will go on with this TikTok story if we have time in the future. But we're now going to a story where... idiots on the internet have FoxNews.com a petition urging Jeff Bezos to buy and eat the Mona Lisa gained steam. A petition urging billionaire Jeff Bezos to buy Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa and eat it has gotten hundreds of signatures. Nobody's eaten the Mona Lisa, and we feel Jeff Bezos needs to take a stand. None of this is capitalized, because it's written by an idiot who doesn't care, and make this happen. The joke petition, I'm glad somebody pointed that out, went up a year ago on change.org and gained hundreds of signatures, signers Thursday reads. What the hell? Gobbled Lisa, one signer wrote. Oh, another joked, I feel like this is something society needs. Jeff, we need you to make this sacrifice for society. The Mona Lisa is owned by the French government, is on permanent display at the Louvre in Louvre Museum in Paris.
So these are just bored people
who
are wasting time signing and creating stupid,
silly
online petitions. I can't imagine taking time out of my day to create such a stupid and useless petition that even if it gained six...
Or sign it.
Yes, or even just the 10 seconds to sign it. Even if this gained 6 billion signatures, there's no chance of it ever happening. I mean, obviously it is a joke, but it's a stupid joke, and there's no part of it that I think is funny.
And I think that the part that disturbs me the most is this... this makes acceptable... This is for the lulls, right? This... normalizes the behavior of destruction of art and culture and things good. And if all you can make and be in the world is destruction, as far as I'm concerned, the world can do without you. Look, I get it. young men tend to, and I presume young women, but I don't know, young men tend to go through a phase where destruction is easier than creation. This is why we have a military, and this is why it recruits young people.
Sure.
But, I mean...
But destruction just takes away from what is there.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't help anything. It doesn't create anything.
It's not... Right.
It's just
bad.
Destruction.
And as far as I'm concerned, it needs to be weeded out as quickly and as thoroughly as possible.
Well, let's talk about... This is how we got into statues. I think we have to define different types of destruction, because there's somewhat constructive destruction. Like melting down a bronze statue, you're destroying it, sure, but you may use that, you may sell that bronze or use it for something more
bronze
useful.
Isn't that valuable. I mean, you can go into a local gift shop and buy little bronze trinkets for nearly nothing. Bronze is not valuable.
Well, insert whatever metal you want. There is a way.
But bronze is a common metal for statues. So if you were melting down statues, the metal you're most likely to get is bronze, which isn't particularly valuable. It's most valuable in its state as a statue.
I'm not sure it's providing any value.
Can we talk about a statue rather than just the notion of statues? Because,
because we got
Rodin's The Thinker is in bronze, as is the Yankee soldier in Keene Central Square. And those mean entirely different things to people.
Right. I would argue that statues of people who have lived, historical figures, is idolatry. And it should be condemned, and these statues should be destroyed.
Idolatry would include worship.
Yes.
Isn't a statue just to sort of remember what the person was about and, continue on their lineage of what they were about?
What is that if it's not worshiping them?
I think it is not worshiping them. I think that it is, in fact, remembering them and promoting their ideals.
Well, one can do that without idolizing them.
One could do that without making a statue of them.
Sure.
But making a statue of them is a great way for people to sort of ask the question. Have you ever gone through a park, wandered up on a statue of a person and said, I've never heard of this person before. I shall read about them. And then you read the little placard there next to the person's name, whoever it is, and you find out more than you knew before.
Was it useful information, or is it just stuff that you know now?
Well, when people ask me that question, it's usually loaded. I've had people say, it's not useful knowing all the state capitals. And it isn't useful necessarily to know it, but it is. It's a fact, and I have all at my. I am able to do my job because I can access from my mind, at least sometimes, some facts that are interesting and promote conversation. So
right.
I would say yes, it is useful if there's a statue of a person and it promotes that idea. Like, for instance, there's a statue of Theodore Roosevelt outside the Natural History Museum in New York. Inside that history museum, by the way, his family, financed in large part this museum, is a poem that he wrote called The State. You can go look it up and you read it. It is an anthem to the notion of power and destruction. And
okay, when you said that, I don't know why I assumed it was going to be the opposite for some reason, but I didn't.
Oh, no.
So
I told you in a few segments ago that fascism was created in the United States by people like Woodrow Wilson and his ilk. And by that, I mean FDR.
Woodrow Wilson ultimately admitted that he had done that. And that he regretted it, and that Americans needed to do something about it.
Well, I haven't read that, but oh, good.
Well, it was in his farewell address.
Okay. Well,
he at length went on about the military-industrial complex that he had created.
That's Eisenhower, you're thinking.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So anyway, this statue certainly promotes Theodore Roosevelt's ideals surrounding the state, money bought that for him. And
well, let's destroy it, because it sounds like it's an evil and immoral thing that is being promoted there. I'm not saying let's do that because that belongs to someone who isn't me. It's not my property to go and destroy. I'm saying that we as a society should come together and say, hey, this is not the kind of thing we want to idolize. Let's get rid of this.
Well, I think that would be, I'd love to live in a world where we don't want to idolize people like Theodore Roosevelt, but I don't. In fact, I live in quite the opposite world. And I would say that that statue is exactly where it should be. It is on the private property of a museum that is largely funded by donations. Now, is it quote-unquote state-owned? Sure. But the people of the state of New York or the city of New York, they're not really the ones paying for this Museum of Natural History. It's the people who choose to go in there. And by the way, it is a phenomenal museum. It's one of the best museums in the United States.
Wouldn't the library be better, though?
Meaning what?
Just a place full of books and information that
we have libraries everywhere. No,
yes, we need more libraries, though. Look, if we had more libraries and fewer statues, the world would be a better place.
Okay, you haven't been to the Natural History Museum that much.
No, because I can pick up a book and read any information that is in there. I can pick up a book and read it.
You cannot
having to go there and idolize.
Stand next to a herd of stuffed elephants.
What
in
benefit?
A book.
What benefit? Yes, I can. That's the power of the imagination.
No, that's imagination.
It's as real as standing next to wax elephants or statues of elephants or whatever they are.
I don't.
It's as close to the experience as standing next to real elephants as is imagining myself there while reading a book about it.
So you're saying that imagination is equal to being to reality?
No.
Okay.
You're comparing standing next to wax elephants or...
Well, they're not wax. They're actually stuffed.
Stuffed elephants.
They were elephants at one point.
As being somehow analogous to or...
Because there's nothing like it.
Worthy of an experience like standing next to actual elephants.
Well, it's not standing next to real elephants, but you really have to go into one of these places to understand what I'm talking
about.
So
you have giant stuffed elephants. I don't know what experience... Standing next to a stuffed elephant can bring me that imagining myself standing next to a stuffed elephant.
I'll tell you this. When you look at rare stuffed birds that are now extinct and you're trying to imagine what they look like when you're reading about it in a book, you just can't come up with what they look like. But looking at them.
Books can have pictures.
Okay. Now they have pictures of hand-drawn, birds? I mean,
sure, why not?
Somebody's mock-up of a dodo is far more effective in communicating what a dodo looked like. By the way, we don't know really what a dodo looked like. Than reading a book about it or
not
reading
if
a picture.
Book has a picture about it. I mean, no, I don't understand.
No, sorry. That's the problem.
I
don't understand.
I would point out that a picture of the Mona Lisa conveys exactly the same information as standing in front of the Mona Lisa.
I think 99%, but the Mona Lisa is a two-dimensional object.
What are your thoughts? 202-380-3699. Who's right here, Mark or Aria? Is imagination almost as...
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.